there's a trick right now. If you post on TikTok and you delete the app off your phone, your video will go viral because the next day I re-downloaded it and the video had 3 million views.
She accidentally stumbled into a business generating $400,000 in a single month.
We have 20,000 followers from it. So
from one video?
Yeah, yeah. Because people wanted to...
Gabby Saber is the founder of CMY Cubes, a multi-million dollar business she started at 25 after her fiancé's colourful cube went viral.
From packing orders in a storage unit to inspiring women in business, her journey shows how bold ideas lead to success.
When I was working in corporate, I'd be hitting targets, exceeding targets, but then not given the prizes because I'm a young female. Those drive me. They drive me.
What's some advice you can give potential people that are actually husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend looking or starting a business together?
Actually, the key thing that is happening here is that...
What's up, guys? Welcome to Unemployable. Today, we have an incredible podcast for you. This is a young lady, Gabby Saber. She is from Sydney. Her and her husband, Enzo, have built the most remarkable business from the most obscure product that was really commercialized for the first time as a result of this fantastic couple from right here in Australia. Listen in as Gabby unpacks the story of how she accidentally stumbled into a business generating just recently $400,000 in a single month. And it was pretty much an accidental thing that she stumbled into. She put up a TikTok video, got millions of views within 24 hours, and literally launched the business without having a supplier, without having any money, just like from nothing. And now she's grown it into this multinational business that's selling on TikTok Shop and all over the world. It's an incredible, incredible story. We talk about how to run a business with as a married couple, the challenges of that, and just so much more. You're going to love this girl. Tune in, listen in, and like and subscribe. We'll see you on the other side. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Unemployable. We have, by request of many of our listeners, another female guest here today, which we are super, super excited about. The ladies in the house, make sure you give it up in the comments and like and follow, because we love getting female entrepreneurs here because they are the minority in the world of entrepreneurship. They do have a different take on business, and I'm really excited to have you here, Gabby. Thank you for being here all the way up from Sydney.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is really cool being here in person. I've done a lot of Zoom recordings and it just doesn't feel the same. This is really, really next level. I actually feel like this means to me that I'm really doing a podcast. This is cool.
It's not like a recording of a Zoom meeting, Eric. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of wanted to make it a serious undertaking, yeah. You know, because we think one of the greatest gifts the internet's given us as entrepreneurs is podcasting.
Yeah.
And young people today are just getting so far ahead of where I'm 50, you know, where I was, because probably because they work harder than I did or something, I don't know, but they've also got access to this remarkable information and being able to sit down. So we really want to, you know, put our little 2 cents worth in from the Gold Coast. We also have here a special guest today, Diogo. So Diogo, tell us a little bit about you, but you're going to be just co-hosting today and we're going to have you on as a guest, but tell us about you quickly so the audience knows who you are.
So man, entrepreneur, lawyer, investor, and innovator. My goal day to day is to understand that success is actually something that you rent, you don't purchase. So it's every single day when I wake up, when I go to sleep, I've been trying since a very young age, how can I be better? And things are only starting to happen now in my early 30s.
So in your early 30s.
Very great.
Diogo runs right now, he's a former lawyer, but he also runs a very successful building business. And right now he's doing a job for me. He's gutting one of my buildings. We're doing a tenant turnover. My largest tenant is a big church, like a Hillsong church that's moving out. And so he's stripping the whole building. He's got a crew of Brazos in there. Just the nicest people in the world, honestly. We've been on site and my wife has said to me, honestly, dealing with you and your crew has been an absolute pleasure. The video updates, the energy that you bring to the job. And so I can't wait to have you on separately, but I'm really excited that you're here. Thank you for stepping
into
the
show. Thank you for having me, Gab. Excited to hear from you as
good
well.
Good to meet you.
At least you meet you as well.
This is going to be really fun. And of course, we have the one and only Eric Machado. What is going on, brother?
You're welcome for the introduction to Diogo, by the way.
Well, you know, I do have to thank you for that because it's nice to work with guys in the trades that have got the whole thing going on, you know, like the service and the pricing and the whole thing just really.
Yeah. Cool. No, I'm excited. Yeah. It's such an interesting product that you have. And yeah, off camera, you were telling us a little bit about the story, and I had to cut you off because I could see you getting so passionate about it. I'm like, we got to get this on the pod. So I'm excited. And again, pretty cool to have Diogo here as well. He's, I always introduce, when I talk about Diogo, it's, you have to actually meet him, because his aura and energy is something like I haven't met anybody in the past that just
sincere,
you know, has one has a smile like you, other than Adam has a good smile as well, but just in regards to your energy. So yeah, super great to have you on, mate.
Thank you so much. Very great.
Yeah. So for those of you watching this and you want to quickly, if you're one of those people that needs to have a couple of screens open, I would recommend you have a look at Gabby's website, because this story reminds me a little bit of Kenny from Light My Bricks.
Yeah.
When I first heard that story, I'm like, he makes how much selling what? Like, he's selling Lego lights, doing $1 million a month. This is just stupid. How are people making this much money from these things? Yours took a little bit of me getting my head around. I'm like, what is a CMY cube? Yeah. So go check out the website if you want to have a look while you're listening at cmycubes.com. She's on TikTok, and just CMY Cubes, you're going to find her on TikTok and Instagram and all of that stuff. So let's start with the product so that people sort of, we can scratch that itch to start. Like, what the heck does she sell? Then we'll get into the story and all the rest.
Yeah, it's funny because people say CMY Cubes or CMY Cube, and like, how do you, CMYK Cube? So what we do is we are revolutionizing the world, understands color theory, and can have education in play. So our products are primarily for 12 plus, and they have the concept of color theory in subtractive color. So using light. So every single product we have in our range uses three colors: cyan, magenta, and yellow. And as you twist and turn the product, whether it's the cube, the isosahedron, the dodecahedron, so the more shapes, the more faces the shape has, the more color it makes. And so as you twist it, the colors mix and creates 12 plus colors of the spectrum. So you can actually see and understand, well, cyan and yellow equals green. So, you know, people always understand on when they're on the computer and they either choose a color on from the wheel, or if they're painting and they mix some color together, but no one truly understands subtractive color mixing using light. And so we kind of made that a tangible thing using a concept that had already existed in universities and schools, but it had never been put into an actual physical product. So we're the first. And we came up with these products a few years ago during COVID on accident. We didn't mean to have an e-commerce business. My partner is an engineer, and he actually designed it to educate me. And then it went viral. And
So you guys are the first in the world to make that kind of cube.
Well, we're the first to make it mass production. Bring it to the market. Yeah. So I'm sure maybe someone, I don't want to say like, you know, someone at home didn't do it. You know, there's a story of Rubik's, you know, he wasn't the first to create the Rubik's Cube, but he was the first to actually bring it to the market and make it a recognizable item to sell. So yeah, in my mind, we brought it to the market. We are the first of its kind. Maybe someone at home did it, but yes, we brought it to market and we actually made it our product. And now there are unfortunately copies on the market, but we are CMY Cube, and we managed to get the website CMY Cube business name and LLC overseas and pretty much trademark the word, even though the actual word CMY Cubes has been used for hundreds of years because it's a known concept, but literally no one was using it.
Mass-produced actual cube.
Yeah.
So it's really like an educational product for people.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's extraordinary, isn't it? Like, it's like Aussie innovation. I love it.
How many people have we had on this podcast that said that their idea came during COVID? Like, COVID has created
many
multi-millionaire business people.
Oh, it really has. Yeah. Like, we've had so many of them.
Honestly, we didn't anticipate it. We just happened to have the time, and we were doing things that typically we wouldn't be doing because you're spending so much time at home, right? Like, you're playing, you're tinkering. And when I asked Enzo a question, he actually made the time to make me a prototype. So I guess if he was in construction like you, Diogo, and he would have been on site all day, every day. And so he wouldn't have been at home spending time, hours and hours and weeks making a prototype for me. So
what an interesting guy. So he's in construction,
yeah,
and then he comes home and for his wife, he makes a CMYQ.
Yeah. Well, like, he was in construction. He had a business called Enzo Builds. He is also an engineer. And so we had like a workshop at Kennards, and that was our kind of happy place. We go there, we had 3D printer, we had CNC machine, we had resin, we had tables, and we literally just made things for fun. And we would go there in the evenings and on the weekends and just make stuff, either gifts for people or just things for ourselves. And that was where he created the CMYQ.
Yeah, I love that there's people like you that exist. Everyone else is down the bar, you know, like swiping on Tinder and doing stupid shit, and you're actually like making real things. So tell us about this prototype. So he wanted to show you how light works.
Correct. I saw a video on TikTok that was a tunnel at a museum where sheets of different color overlap as you walk through and the colors mix. And then also the light goes onto the ground and it's all different colors. And I said to him, oh my gosh, how does this work? And this is classic. If I ask him a question, I can't just expect an answer. I have to understand that I'm going to get an education session. I have to understand it deeply. And so he was like, oh, I'll show you. And so we went to the workshop and we started playing with resin and he started making me like sheets to move over each other. And then he's like, oh, I'll show you the CMYQ because that's how you learn it in physics and in optics. And so he was like, but I could just make it out of resin. And he made a prototype. Actually, my brother was like, wow, this is actually really cool. Can you make me one? And then he made a better one. And that video went viral on TikTok. I made a video of Enzo spinning it. And it's actually funny because I was in marketing. That was my full-time job. And I'm obsessed with marketing. And I had an idea. I had a concept that was like, Enzo, I feel like there's a trick right now. If you post on TikTok and you delete the app off your phone, your video will go viral because they're so badly wanting to bring you back on the app. They're sending you notifications, but they don't know you've deleted it. So you just keep it closed. And I was like, let's test it. And so he made a video with the cube and he's like, I've got this cube. And I deleted it. And then the next day I re-downloaded it and the video had 3 million views. And it wasn't meant to be a business, but I wanted to test TikTok theory because I was just learning to play with TikTok. It was 2020. It was kind of early days. And then people were like, where can I get this cube? Where can I buy it?
So you just posted it with no intention.
Yeah.
And it's just you playing with the cube.
Yeah. It was Enzo playing with it. And we didn't yet have a website and or anything. We didn't intend to do this as a business. I was loving my job. Yeah.
And so this is in Australia. You post this all from Australia.
Yep.
Wow. Yep.
And when we woke up, we were like, oh my God, it's going viral. And then I went to work. Actually, I was starting a new job. I was starting my dream job, actually, in marketing at an agency. And I went to work. I started my job. And then I came home that day and we were like, let's create a website and just put a buy now button on there. And so we went on GoDaddy and we bought CMYCubes.com. We couldn't believe it was available. We got the ABN and the website and we literally bought CMYCubes.com.co.uk.au.
So
I think we bought like 300 versions. I'm not kidding. Like every possible option, color, CMY cube, CMY color cube, like everything, RGB cube. And we prepped ourselves and then we made a GoDaddy website. We clicked the Yes Designer website now. I do not recommend doing that.
I was going to say, I'm amazed that anybody actually takes that option.
Trust me, like just never do that. The transition to Shopify was horrendous because of that. But we did that and we made a one page and we literally had a buy now button and we put it in the bio. We deleted the video and it's funny because the name of the account was Terra Australis Art because that was our page to make fun things. And so I deleted the video and I downloaded it and I put the link in bio and I reposted it and I did the same thing.
And what happened the second time?
The same thing. It went viral again, but this time with a link in the bio.
And what a risk.
It's funny because if you go onto your TikTok page and you scroll down, the first ever video has the watermark of Terra Australis Art on it because you couldn't then download without the watermark. I didn't think it was a risk because I didn't know TikTok enough for it to be a risk. I didn't actually have I didn't have any call to action for that one video. So there was no outcome attached to it other than just going viral. And we hit 20,000 followers from it. So
from one video?
Yeah. Yeah. Because people wanted to see another video.
That's incredible.
So what happened when you created that website and you had the buy now button?
Yes.
So, because you obviously didn't have stock.
Yeah, no. We didn't even have an understanding of how to mass manufacture this because the first sample is the wrong color. It's like
you didn't even know how you were going to make it. You were just like, let's throw a website up. Let's take some cash and then figure it out.
Yep.
Oh, Australia.
Classic. And so we reposted the video and we put the link in the bio and, you know, first day we got like 30 sales. And
how much was it?
We started off with like, I think we started off like $19. Now it's 29. So obviously we had to like go through different testing phases. And then we put it up $5 and then we put it down $5 and we put it up $10, just seeing where people would buy. And no matter what the price was, people were buying it and they like needed it. It was like impulse, like I need this.
Is this in Australia or worldwide?
It was all over the world. We straight away went global. Like we had no idea. We literally were just like, go daddy, yep. And anywhere in the world, yep. Including places we cannot ship.
Do you know how many people right now are making like little voodoo dolls of you guys? Because they're like, yeah, fucking hard, I've worked.
And then people like global plan of like, I'm going to launch in America next. So I'm like, yeah, don't, you know, we just went straight away global. And we didn't learn until like, you know, hundreds of orders in that Ireland was having a no shipping policy during COVID and we couldn't even ship to Ireland. So we shipped all of the Irish orders with DHL and lost money just to get them to the customers. But anyway, I'm fast forwarding because we sold 1,000 in that month. And I was like, I went onto the website and I was like, quick, change it all to pre-order. Like, sorry, this is a pre-order. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to treat this like a Kickstarter. And so what I did was, we went to a local manufacturer in Chatswood in Australia and we started speaking to them and started working with them and they were really excited. And when we finally figured out the prototype using Australian made products, we then were like, great, now we have 1,000 to make. And they were like, oh, no. We make these by hand. Like it's going to cost like $50 a unit. And we were like, no, can't do that. Definitely can't do that. We're selling them for like 19.
Yeah.
And so then we were like, hi guys, so sorry for the delay. COVID, you know, really is causing so many delays. Like we'll have this to you as soon as possible. And we were just being very transparent with them. We were like, we still haven't figured out how to get these to you. And we were emailing us every week. And I was like feeling sick. I was like, we're going to have to refund like $15,000 that we've spent like four on materials and they've pulled out. So they don't want to work with us anymore. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to refund. And Enzo's like, absolutely. My business partner and my partner, he was like, absolutely not. Like this is money. Like we've just got $15,000 in the bank account. I can make, if Elon Musk can send rockets in the sky, I can make a plastic product. Like we're going to do it. So we then, we found a company in China that I'd previously spoken to for something else because I'm always speaking to people in China. We had an agency from a previous business in my past life and we signed a lot of triple N documents and a lot of things and they were willing to work with us and make the prototype. And by December 2020, we shipped out the first mass production run in a plain white box with Arial font, www.cnycubes.com. And we shipped them globally. And I don't think anyone got them for Christmas. They got them maybe end of December, January, but they were happy nonetheless.
When did you take the money?
In September.
Oh, that wasn't too
bad. Yeah, so it wasn't too bad. We were hustling to get it.
A lot of people are used to Temu and they just sort of order and it's like, that might come.
Yeah.
Sometime.
And people's willing to wait because you couldn't get it anywhere else. Yeah. So I offered refunds and nobody took them. I said, if you really don't want this, we can refund you. No one did that. And we shipped them. And then in January, we switched to a PTY company and switched to Shopify and then actually registered our website properly and rebranded, got a logo, did our packaging and kind of relaunched. We started all over again. We were like, now we are CNY Cubes. We've got the first run out. Let's do this again.
This story is a typical jump out of the plane and build a parachute on the way down.
Yeah.
That is so you guys were just so resourceful,
yeah,
you know?
Thank you.
But how did you guys, how did you stay calm during that time? Like you're in September, you've taken, you know, $15,000 of people's money sitting here, sitting there and then going like, we actually don't have this product. And it wasn't until 2 to 3 months later that you actually shipped. So how did you actually stay cool, calm and composed and actually didn't just go, you know what? I'm just going to refund this money. We're not going to be able to supply and then start all over again. Because like, obviously your partner at the time was like, let's just refund. You were just saying just refund. And he's like, no. So how did you guys just.
Well, we work really good together because we trust each other. And I did trust his judgment, like truly, because he comes from a construction background and he's an engineer. Like I trusted that he could actually figure this out. So my job was just focus on marketing. And his job was, I will get this product made. I will also say that it was COVID. Like, I think the stresses were very subjective, right? Like, we were dealing with a pandemic. That was stressful. This was kind of a relief from that. This was, take my mind off it. We were sitting on the floor in our living room. Some of our friends still cannot believe how big we've grown because they remember us sitting on our floor trying to make them all by hand. And we were just trying our best. And at the end of the day, this is nothing compared to the global pandemic that was going on. And like, you couldn't drive 5 kilometers from your house and that chaos. So, and also people really understanding, like when we emailed them saying COVID is causing delays, which it was, because we would have just flown to China otherwise, like not in a typical scenario, would have been like, oh, wow, let's go to China and get this product made. But we couldn't. So people were like, I'm so sorry that going through this, like I totally understand, I want this product. So we weren't having the stress of customers berating us, and I think that helped. But I just feel like I was confident, and also I felt like we finally hit the jackpot in terms of finding that diamond.
Had you tried businesses prior to this?
Yes.
Because I read online that you'd done like chopping boards and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, exactly.
So you did have some concept that, holy smokes, this is what product market fit feels like when you get it.
100%. Because I had a handbag, waterproof handbag business during 2016, 17, 18, and it just didn't take off.
Right.
It was too saturated. And also I was ordering such small quantities and I just couldn't afford to expand my product range and keep up with competitors. And then I had a chopping board business, which was honestly, it was also product market fit. It was amazing. And it was for a very niche community, but I was making them all by hand in our workshop. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I literally don't have the time for this. And then literally this was the dream. Like this was the, you see people and they're like, wow, right place, right time. Like, That was me. That was that. So I knew that we were going to make this work, even though I felt like I wanted to refund people. I trusted Enzo.
So you had two businesses prior that didn't fly.
Yeah.
Same entrepreneur, slightly different time. And then the third one hit. And this is really important because so many people attach failure to personal shortcomings. And it's like, no, you know, it's just idea, product market fit.
Yes. 100%.
And if you don't have that, you know, I started a waterproof tea bag business once and didn't go so well. So. But I go fit, so it's really, really important.
Where did the entrepreneurial spirit come from? Because you said, you know, you just lined up your dream job.
Yeah.
Obviously, you were setting up a couple of these businesses prior. Your partner's, you know, an aerospace engineer, and he's a builder. Why didn't you just stay with your dream job? And like where does the
well, actually, my dad always owned businesses my whole life, and my mom and dad always pushed me to just do whatever I wanted and try new things. I started working at PayPal when I was 19. I was Australia's youngest ever hire for PayPal Australia. I would even feel like I could say globally, because in America you had to have a degree to work at PayPal. In Australia you didn't. So I got hired there when I was 19, and they didn't know my age, and I was working as an account, a small business manager. So I was selling people. I was literally scouring the internet looking for e-commerce businesses that didn't use PayPal and getting them to use PayPal and then make commission, all of that. And even though the commission was amazing, I couldn't help but see all these e-commerce businesses. It was early days of Shopify. We were just building our relationship with Shopify. So it was when they partnered. And I remember calling a company, and she was she was making $80,000 a month through a PayPal account because I could see. And that I knew that was just PayPal because I understood there was other payment methods on there. And I was talking to her about upgrading to Express. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I am sitting on the wrong end of this phone book. And I just knew that. And every single person I spoke to, I mean, this was literally, I saw the launch and growth of Skinny Me Tea. I saw the launch and growth of a few of Greta's e-commerce businesses. Like I remember when she launched the watch business and the Skinny Me Tea business.
The fifth,
that's right. And I'll never forget some of the business, Frank Body. Like I remember the day they launched and then immediately we had to pass it over to the SMB, the growth team. So I just knew. I was like, I've got to start a handbag business because, you know, all these businesses are doing so well. So that was when my first business launched. And then I was like determined to end up with an e-commerce business and see $80,000 in my PayPal account come and go.
How old were you in 2020? Just for the younger listeners, because you're not that old.
Yeah, in 2020.
When you started? 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years ago. I'm 29 now, so.
Oh, my God. What is it with these girls in their 20s having this studio just showing us up? I love it.
What I want to know, Diogo, is how do you feel being a builder, right, dealing what you have to deal with every day, and then now you have this lovely young lady here making lots of money selling one product, which is a cube.
Thank you for asking. So this is how I feel. Though I am being able to oversee this whole podcast, and this is how make me feel looking at you. I see that her and her partner were amazing at school. I can't imagine how many things you said no in your life. I can't imagine how many sleepless nights you and your partner had, how much you hustle, how much you didn't use drugs, how much you didn't went go party. Your husband, which type of engineering is him?
Aerospace
engineering. I imagine how much he studied. He was probably in school, the one hustling. So I don't see one product, $1 million or $10 million in that day. I see an entire journey of someone that did their very best. And what happens when you start, you keep digging and you keep digging, you find gold. And I believe that you deserve that. This is only the first step of your entrepreneurial journey, because the more you go in, once you are winning, and I tell this to everyone, once you are winning, it's very easy to keep winning. If you watch an NBA game, as the guys can be as tired as they are, or MMA fight, if they start winning, even if it's the last 20 seconds, you find that energy out of nowhere. And this is the energy that I feel with you. Well done. Thank you for asking.
Honestly, that was an amazing answer because I resonate with that so much. People always say, oh my God, you're so lucky. And I'm like, well, luck is when preparedness meets opportunity. And I was prepared. I've been prepared since the day I was born. Like my parents have prepared me to find that opportunity and run with it. And yeah, like it's a relentless fight. But then once you start winning, it's like you can't stop winning. And I really feel like and it's not like luck winning. Like I realize that I can do this, and I'm like, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this. And I just keep on going. And yeah, I definitely, you know, missed out on dinners with friends and going out and partying, but also I wasn't focused on that. I was focused on building my dream.
I love hearing these stories. Yeah. Of like, it just gives me so much hope for the future when I see young Australians like you and Enzo that are just breaking the mold, you know, of what is, you know, the loud minority on Instagram taking photos of their ass and, you know, trading in skin, and you guys are using real brains and intellect and an ambition. And I love that. And you're in your 20s, and what you said is so true. I look at you and I'm literally blows me away to think where you'll be at 50, right? You're not even 30. It's just extraordinary. Let's just get to the punchline.
Yeah.
About where you are today.
Yeah.
I want people, if you're not listening yet, I want you to listen what they're doing now to really get your attention and create a frame around this young lady, because the frame matters. And when you hear the results that people are doing, it really makes you listen differently. So I know you're embarrassed. You told us before rolling tape that it's almost embarrassing for you to say it out loud.
Yeah.
Eric's the same. He's just had a monster month as well. And it's an Australian thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stick your head up too high. So just for a moment, tell us about your recent activity with your business. Where did you get to, monthly sales, that kind of stuff?
So we hit 7 figures in the first year. Actually, it was like within 8 months. We doubled that in year two. And in Black Friday, we just did 400K.
In one month. Wow.
You're big round of applause.
100% of planet.
That is unbelievable. Yeah.
All the entrepreneurs out there that are listening, take a moment to give Gabby a round of applause. And Enzo, of course.
That is unbelievable.
So 400 grand for the month, which is a pretty close to a $5 million a year run rate. Yeah.
How many cubes is that, by the
way? Thousands. Like, I think we sold like 3,500 just on Shopify in November. And then we've got Amazon and TikTok Shop. We are massive
would
on TikTok.
Go bananas on TikTok.
We're in TikTok Shop in the US. We're one of very few Australian businesses on there, and it's just the best.
Can you give us a breakdown of like of the 400 grand?
Yeah.
If you were to slice that pie up into Shopify, TikTok Shop, Amazon,
it was 300K, just under 300K on Shopify. That included about 50 grand on TikTok Shop. And then we had about 20 grand in wholesale, which was not supposed to be because we closed wholesale, but people always come and the sales sell, so we always say yes. And then we had about 100 grand on Amazon. I think that math works.
And is that American Amazon or Australian Amazon?
Amazon.
American. So you said that TikTok Shop's amazing for you. So why obviously you started on TikTok, which is incredible. And I really want people to not miss the importance of what Gabby said at the start, 3 million views in 24 hours. And now there's a pod coming up, which we haven't released, with Raf Hussain, who's a TikTok Shop expert. And he talked about the power of the TikTok algorithm and why it's different to Instagram is that it will test any piece of content, regardless of how big your audience is.
Yep.
And if it converts on three metrics, which we went through in the pod, it will then show it to a bigger group and a bigger group and a bigger group. So this levels the playing field. Gone are the days where you have to go to a Kim Kardashian and rely on her massive audience. You just need to create a great piece of content. And with no audience, you can get massive.
Honestly, and take that. And now they've also created an ads tool called GMV Max. And that same concept now applies to their ad tool. So you choose a budget, let's say $500 a day, and then you choose an ROI. So the ROI is 7. And you click yes, all content. Now, every single creator content that has ever tagged you as an affiliate just tagged you. They can tag you as an affiliate on the platform. So if they make a sale from that video, they get commission. Any video you've ever made on your account or any accounts you connect to TikTok Shop and any videos you add to your ad account, they are testing in microseconds at the same time. And whichever video they think is going to make a sale, they then spend budget. So they do not spend budget unless they make a sale. And so now all of a sudden, AI is doing the work for you. You don't have to create ads. You don't have to create ad sets, choose an audience. It's literally, what's your budget and what's your ROI? Let us do the work for you.
No, you're not creating the ads.
Nope. They are literally
using the
content you already have and all the affiliate content that has ever been made and posted.
And
they're testing it all in one go. And whichever video they think is going to make a sale based on their AI technology, they put money behind. And then the ROI, they won't spend unless they are certain you'll hit that ROI that you've chosen. And so some days it might be, I might spend $5 because it's not, your content's not good enough. But our ROI is always 7. It will not be lower. It cannot be lower because you've chosen.
When you say ROI, you mean ROAS.
Yeah, they call it ROI.
Okay. Does that mean for every dollar of ad spend, $7?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. So they just call it ROI for whatever reason.
Return on investment.
Return on investment, yep. And so they literally, they recommend ROI based on your current performance. And if you want to go above that, that's on you and it might not spend, but usually you choose it. And so in the last month, we've just been running GMV Max campaigns and you hit your ROI. Like it's just not possible that you don't. And so our ROI is minimum 7 on TikTok Shop. And it's crazy. It works. And we've got 160,000 affiliates on TikTok Shop.
160,000 affiliates. So to me, where TikTok is going, TikTok Shop is going, is basically the company or the person that's generating the most and the best content, rather than sitting there and having the best ads person in the background. You actually don't need that person really anymore. What you need is the people to create the content and put as much of it, throw mud at the wall and see what sticks, and just keep going. So how do you roll off 160,000 affiliates off your tongue like it's not a big deal? How do you actually?
There's so many people on the platform. I mean, they have this back-end tool called the Affiliate Center, and you log in and you create an open collaboration, and it means that anyone can become an affiliate without being accepted if you choose. Of course, I'm going to say yes, because they don't need to. They don't get a free sample unless I approve that. So anyone can go onto my shop and click become an affiliate and adds my products to their page under their showcase. And if they make a sale from their showcase, they get 10% commission. And so we mass pump out invites to everyone and anyone using tools that TikTok give you. And they partner with young entrepreneurs that make these amazing tools because they understand that there's a need for it. And so we use a tool called Euka, E-U-K-A, and it literally sends out messages as like a bot, but in mass to people within the categories and followers or engagement rate that I choose. And it says, hi, we'd love you to become an affiliate and earn massive amounts of money. And they click, yep, add to showcase. And then if they get invited to a target collaboration, which is a separate collaboration tool, they can then request a free sample. So we send about 20 a week. And they pump out content for you. They have to. So TikTok, if they get a free sample, they have to create a piece of content. If they don't, there's a score out of 100 percentage score. This person has a 50% follow through rate. Well, they're not going to get samples from anyone. So, you know, they make sure to post. And then once they post, now that content is mine on TikTok and we can put money behind it. And
this is actually a game changer.
It works faster than you can actually think. So in this conversation we've had, like, people are receiving samples, posting content, GMB Max is putting money behind it, and we're making sales. Like, it's just.
Yeah. And people, I think, really need to understand how vast an ecosystem we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Because we talked about in a recent pod that there are people out there that have massive followings. Like, there's a guy, I can't think of his name. He's an ex-NASA rocket scientist, and he makes these videos where he puts, like, really complex puzzles in his backyard for squirrels.
Yeah.
To, like, they're like obstacle courses. Have you seen this guy? And he does, like, he's like trying to see how smart squirrels are, and he sets up these incredible, insane obstacle courses for squirrels with the nuts in the middle, and, like, he gets millions and millions of views. Now, this is a guy whose audience are really, really smart people.
Yeah.
And there's probably people making that sort of content for kids, or those people have kids. So someone like that, he is, like, there are influences around kids' education.
He's a thought leader in that space.
Yeah, there's influences around science and around learning and around kids' education and around organic kids' tools and stuff. Yeah. There are these massive influences in those categories. And, you know, it's just such a leveling playing field here, like what you're talking about tonight.
Well, we don't consider ourselves on social media, we don't consider ourselves a brand. We consider ourselves like an education space. So our full-time content creator just posts educational content on our main platforms, and that does so well. And he's we don't do UGC on our platforms. We do EGC, which is employee-generated content. And he's our employer, and he just speaks from the brand and educates people on color theory. Happens to be holding product. And so our videos, like, we did a video earlier this year about color paint on a wall with a shadow, and that got 35 million views, and we got so many sales from that because he was showing the product at the end. But we've got 160 on TikTok, that 160,000. We're just about to, we're on track for 100,000 subscribers on YouTube by next year, and I'm going to get that plaque and put on my wall with pride, and my little junior me will be, like, so proud. And on Instagram, we're on, like, 130 or 140, I don't know. On Pinterest, we get 500,000 views a month to 2 million views a month, depending on the videos just popping off. Like, the content does well, and now we're posting on X quite heavily because we know that the potential is there on X. And people love to see the content. They kind of watch it like episodes, right?
You're educating, and people are coming away from your content feeling smarter.
Yeah.
If you haven't been to Gabby's Instagram for the business, please go and look. It's the curly haired dude, yeah, right?
Please.
So he's actually an employee of yours, yep, on the books full time.
He is. Well, he's a contractor, but he is full time. Yes.
Yeah. What does a guy like that cost? If you don't.
Yeah. For brands. Absolutely. Yeah. So he's $2,500 US a month for just the content, and he does it for other brands as well, but he's full time for us. So he does, when I say full time, he does content every day, and so I think we've got a really good deal. So
$2,500 a month seems really reasonable. Like when you go to the page, it's and he's really like tactile. Like
yeah,
there's lots of examples of he's not just talking to camera, he's in front of it. He's like, what the hell is this? And he's, yeah, got a paintbrush
there. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, he has it pretty good because he's a young kid who is making money from making videos because his personality is amazing.
Yeah.
And we kind of just said, go for gold. And he is the one upskilling and educating and then making the videos. We don't have any process in place to review videos. We just throw crap at the wall, like literally make videos, post it, and just keep going.
Well, yeah, especially on TikTok with the algorithm and how it's working now with this GMV.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically what they're rewarding you for, right? Just put out as much content as possible. So what's the strategy moving forward now with you guys? Obviously with TikTok Shop just seems like it's, I mean, I shouldn't say a lot easier because it is obviously a content play,
yeah,
but versus say Shopify and running Meta ads, yeah, and versus TikTok Shop, where do you see the future of your future sales coming from, and where are you guys concentrating?
So we've always concentrated on organic content. That's my powerhouse as a marketer, but also our brand really relies on it. Of course, we have Meta ads running always, but it's not our bread and butter. Our bread and butter is posting every single day on all the platforms. We are ahead of every other brand. That's my goal. So we are, you know, big on YouTube Shorts, and I want to be monetized on X. So to get monetized, you've got to get 500 followers and 5 million views. And it's like, I'm like, oh my God, that's nothing. So you can start getting creator funds, and so I want that to be an income stream as well. And honestly, next year we only started posting on TikTok this regularly at the end December, January this year. So it's only been a year that we've been this heavily invested in organic content. Before that, we were just posting every so often and using Meta ads and kind of going viral. But now we're really heavily invested in that consistency, and we're on track to, I mean, we're going to hit well over 100,000 subscribers. And then we're also just going to keep on growing. So my goal is to become a household name through organic content and just keep growing the brand. So people, no matter where they are in the world, are like, oh, I've seen your videos. And
how many subs have you got across all the platforms? Do you know?
How many?
Like across TikTok, Instagram, YouTube.
Oh, followers. And
followers.
Subscribers.
Close to a million.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, we've got 150. So that's on one TikTok, and then we've got 70 on our other. We've got two TikTok accounts. So we've got 70 on one, 150 on the other, and then we've got 150 on Instagram, and we've got 50 on.
All in a year.
Yes.
This is amazing.
50 subscribers.
That shows the power of hard work. Everyone's working hard in business, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
But it really shows you the tailwinds you get when you have the right,
yeah,
product.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes such a difference. While we always say to entrepreneurs listening, take your time to find product market fit, take the rose-colored glasses off, and let's see if when you take a step towards the market, the, yeah, market takes a lunge back towards you, which is what's happened here.
Yeah, and we, mid last year, we were at about 60,000 Instagram followers. And I remember thinking, like, I just want to grow the followers. And we were only on like 30,000 TikTok followers, which was from that original video. So it was like kind of maintaining. And I remember at the first year we ever did it, launched our business and were actually growing, I wanted Instagram followers so badly that I participated in a giveaway, which was like a celebrity giveaway where everyone has to follow you. And we got like 30,000 followers from that. And I regret that to this day because they're still unfollowing us. And it just goes to show, like, you can't hack the system. There's no hacking it as much as you want to. And I have no shame to admit that I did that giveaway. It cost me like $4,000. And I don't even know how many sales we got out of it. But I wanted those followers so badly for credibility, especially when the counterfeits started popping up. And I just, you know, obviously back then I didn't know the power of the organic growth strategy like I do now. But if anyone thinking like, man, I just want followers, like screw those followers. It's actually just about views on your content. The platforms are not driven towards followers anymore. And the fact that we have followers means that people are willing to stick around to watch more content. And that's a testament to our content. But don't focus on followers now or at the beginning. Just focus on getting content out there. And once you find a strategy that works, it'll stick and then people will stick around. So if you go to any TikTok account that you love, let's say Scrub Daddy, for example, they're huge, scroll all the way back to their first ever video posted and it is a disaster. Like their first 15 videos are just them trying to figure out what works. And then finally, once they've figured out what works, it's a voiceover of like this funny voice and they're being really candid and rude. And now it's just that over and over again. So every company has been there, done that. Every creator has been there, done that. One video goes viral and they're going to stick to that forever.
Amplify what works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, I hope you are enjoying this podcast. I just wanted to let you know that we are going to be opening Unemployable Coaching 2025. This is going to be a really exciting program. It's going to include all the amazing things you saw in the last year, private property tours, private training days, one-on-one coaching, and so much more. If you are interested in being notified, simply go to unemployable.com.au/coaching. That's unemployable.com.au/coaching. Put in your information, we'll let you know. With that said, let's get back to the pod.
Yeah, sorry. I look at you. You mentioned copycats before, and very easy to copy a product, but it's not easy trying to replicate what you're doing and actually putting out the work and putting out the content and servicing those clients. And it comes, I can see it even before we started rolling, the passion it oozes out of you. And I think that will always win over, you know, any copycat that's just there for a short-term win myself. So
They jump on the virality and they want our sales. And it's a shame because they've got no care. They just want to, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. But I'm confident in the fact that we are the brand and people want to work with us. We're partnering with some pretty big companies right now. And in the past, I mean, we partnered with Yves Saint Laurent a couple of years ago to make a product for their concept stores. And they came to us. They could have gone to China and done it from, but they partnered with us and we made them a product with their logo engraved on it, and they sold them for like 3 times price. Wild. But anyway, I think the point is that if you build a brand that's recognizable and trustworthy, you know, we're going to bond together as brands, right?
I just love how she's like, we've collabed with Yves Saint Laurent. Like it's just like us. Like it's just another random.
Yeah. We've done some really random collaborations. Like don't even understand it myself, to be honest. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Diogo, I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. When you do ask questions, get the mic right up close to you because we want to hear your voice. And when you talk sideways, we'll lose it. So what are you thinking about all this when you listen to it?
Adam, is a shock for me. This is how I feel. I used to be a history teacher for a period short of time when I was younger. And I studied a lot history. And a lot of times in history have this moment that we are now, when you find the gold, when you find the coffee, when you find other lands, and now people are finding the online world. However, most of the people that are competing in the online world, with all due respect, are not people like us. Like not people like me that were like the number one at school that said no to everything, that until 20 never been on a date. There are millions of people like me, like her. We think we are the only one, but there are so many now in India, Brazil, America, Canada. So the ones that are already dead now, you need to make the most of this and need to keeping doing. So my question for you is, if you guys are finding the gold, why are you sharing with everyone? Yep. You guys are so like this. I understand in Australia we have toe pop syndrome, like in the US or Canada when I lived, Eric. Everyone there really share. Joke, how much you're making. And here, if I share with someone, man, I make, whoa. Yep. What is this guy sharing? And I started to see, but in Australia, different than other countries as well, people share knowledge here.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to see an American guy doing this. show me one. And I want to tell, why are you guys sharing? Because I can leave this room now and make $1 million in a few months. That's the truth. So everyone that is listening, and then I understand why you all share, because it's not about the money.
No.
This is not, and that's what I believe, the people that are in the online world that are going to make the most money are the ones that are not going for money. And just to finish, viral videos. I already heard all the things you can imagine. You need to post, delete the app, post this time. You go on my social media. I barely posted on my life. I don't understand anything. I can post 12:30 at night on a Monday, leave the app open or do whatever you want. When it's meant to be viral, it is viral. Yeah. For me, I see the online world as an energy. And if you don't think about getting viral and so worried, this energy is going to find you. Your mind is going to be aligned to the online world and you're going to be able to be physical and online. I have videos that reach at 5 million, 4 million. If you go on my TikTok, you're going to see that most of my videos reach at 1 million. And some of those videos, I'm just going for breakfast in my energy. Excuse me, what is the secret of life? 8-second videos. I never made one money with the online world, but I can guarantee you, I have open doors everywhere.
Yes.
From the richest guy in America, from the richest, only because of social media. So that's why sometimes I remember to post. And it's also not, in my opinion, numbers. It's about quality over quantity for me now. Because for me, how I see, I need to build my life. I need to focus on what I'm doing. But the online world is here. Diogo, get your slice now, even though you don't have much time. But being here is like, wow, I feel so privileged, unemployable. One listen that you do to this podcast, if you do the work, if I apply one thing that you showed me, $1 million to me. So that's my question. I want to hear from all of you three. Why are you sharing?
Before we answer that, and I'll get Gabby to answer first, just you're quite extraordinary because you're a builder really at the moment. You run a building company. You can follow Diogo at Diogo Giglio.
Thank
so
you.
Diogo Giglio.
Yes.
And just quickly, across your socials, how many followers do you have and how many bits of content you reckon you put up?
I already put up around 100 videos.
Yeah.
I have around 120,000 followers in all the platforms. But if you also see the people that follow me, when they scroll on the people that follow me, you're going to see a lot of celebrities, a lot of influencers, so this is what the social media is for me. Connected me with people that I cannot even explain to you.
Yeah.
This is
the point I'm trying to make, is that
exactly.
Even a builder, you got a great business, but you do this as a side hustle. So you got a legitimate distribution with 120,000 legitimate real followers. Is extraordinary.
And the traders treat me well. Clients treat me better. It is a reality. The world is getting on.
They turn up and they see that frame. This isn't just a builder. This is like a celebrity builder almost. Yeah. So that's right.
But it's honestly amazing, Diogo. And I agree with you. The connection that you have with your community that you're building is so important. And it's something I talk about to a lot of people, because you're stepping into a creator's space now. You're stepping into a place where creators are being vulnerable. They're sharing with their audiences. So when brands come on TikTok and they start advertising, or they start saying like, look at my product, here I am, people are like, oh, like you're in the wrong place. This is not what this platform is for. This platform is to come on without makeup and do your makeup and tell me your deepest, darkest secrets and come on here and be vulnerable and share what's going on in your life. And if that has to do with your products too, then great, right? That's why a lot of influencers like Britt Saunders is doing really well, because her main page, her personal brand is the one that's promoting her business as well. And so I think, yeah, the deepest thing you can do is really focus on that meaningful connection with your customers, or in my case, customers, in your case, just audience, and not just focus on. People always say to me, Gabby, so how do you convert them now? You've got those followers. Or, you know, I say I've had 150 million views across all my socials this year. They're like, how do you convert them? I'm like, oh, because they're part of my community now, right? They are quote unquote color nerds, and I'm not expecting them to just jump straight on and buy my product, though they will one day, whether it's now or whether it's in Q4, generally, if it's in January, February, whatever. But if they just become part of the community and they're asking questions and they're now saying like, oh, but why, you know, they're watching videos of Diogo speaking and there's a rainbow above his head and they're like, at CMY Cubes, why is the rainbow blue and not yellow? And all of a sudden we're now being linked to a totally random video because they know they can ask us. And now to me, that is a huge ROI, because that's part of my goal of becoming a household name. And so I love that about the new wave of social media.
I love how you described, like I said to one of our companies recently, they were like, oh, should we do this? And I said, look, people know how to find the buy button. People know how to buy shit.
Yes.
What they don't have is a trusted community. And you can feel from you. If I build the community of people who are open about saying, we had an amazing date night on Friday night. We went and built like a Rubik's Cube. And you make it a safe space for all those awesome people. They're going to buy stuff because they trust you and they like you. And it's not about, hey, here's my thing.
Right.
It's so powerful. Yeah. We had, what was a young lady from Sydney with TBH with the skincare? And the same thing, she created a real community of helping young, mostly women, but also men as well, who had acne problems, a safe space to talk about why acne happens and the role that diet plays and the stress and hormones and all that. And then they sell a skincare product and they do $1 million a month off it.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But it's a safe community first, transaction second.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, there is a line where celebrities just use their reach and audience to create a business that they are not even a little bit part of, and they use their face and name. And that's where it kind of dampens a little bit, because they're distrust, creating this distrust now, because they've, you know, not sold that something that isn't actually what they're talking about, just because they've got that audience first. But it can also, be on the flip side, like us, create a really beautiful community that then eventuates into an amazing growth of your company.
I want to answer your question, Diogo, just in regards to like why. Why do we sit here and educate and tell our secrets on, you know, how to grow business and grow wealth? And for me, I'm a big believer of educating yourself and surrounding yourself with good people, right? And I think people, the world's changing, and the world's changing very, very fast. And I don't think it's going to become easier for people to achieve things that they want in life by just working a regular job, like being your dream job and being at that marketing agency as an example. You got to look at other things, other ways to increase your income if you want to live a life. And I've been saying this a lot lately, and it resonates with me, like writing your own script rather than following the script of someone else's.
Yeah.
And for me, it's, I want to try and change as many people's lives as possible, whether it's one per podcast, 10 per podcast, whatever it is. And we're doing it. We're doing it every week. We show up, you know, multiple times every week doing these podcasts. And there's times when you wake up and you're going, oh man, I got 3 podcasts today and I've got that much other things that I need to get done, right? And there's no monetary value from it straight away, right? It takes time to compound and compound and compound. And I can really see the momentum happening at the moment. And I see it from emails. I see it from DMs. We're changing people's lives. You can see it from the comments that are being put into the podcast. And that's what keeps giving me the fuel, right, to wake up every day and provide value to others and bringing amazing people. Like, look at the energy in this room right now, right? Like,
incredible,
right? Like, it's we're very strategic on the people that we bring on as well. And this story is unbelievable. And like, Adam, right, has been in business a long time. I've been in business a long time, and I've got over half a page worth of notes here of just information, education. Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. And then I will take this information and relay it to other people that I know that are going to be going on TikTok shop, or my other business partners that are going, oh, you know, TikTok. I'm like, TikTok, like, look at this as an example. So that's a big reason why.
And you got to run your own race. Like, we've been doing this for a year, Gabby, same time as you've been doing social media, you said a year ago. And we release 2 of these pods a week, and they're long form pods. And we hear your story. We've got 4,500 subscribers. You've got 100,000. So you've got 20 times, is it, the amount of subscribers that we have in the same time. And so it's really important that you don't compare somebody else's.
Right.
You got to run your race.
Yeah.
And remember that even in social media, I keep saying this to Eric and the team, and Eric says it as well, we've only got 4,500 people. And when we look at someone like you, we're like, oh my God, 100,000 people. That's the MCG on grand final day, right? But 4,500 people is a lot of people if you see them in one room.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get discouraged because you compare yourself to, in our case, you're like the Kim Kardashian in the room with the big numbers, right?
Right.
You just got to stay focused on doing your thing and having faith and keep producing and trying to get better.
Yeah. And I also think that, I mean, yeah, a year ago I was comparing myself to other brands and I didn't have a content creator and I cracked it. But also I think what's really important to understand is that there are so many people in this world and people know me that, especially that I coach, they know that I'm not a gatekeeper. I literally will never be, sometimes to a fault. I won't share my exact manufacturer, sure, but I've given many people my packaging manufacturer and I'll tell them how much I'm paying my content creator and I'll share my graphic designer. And I'm like, there are so many people in this bloody world that, like, I'm not going to... You're not going to sit here and compete with me. Like, you can try, good luck. But if you, at the same time, like, go for it. Here's my contacts. Because it's just, not only is there so, I mean, there's billions of people on TikTok, but just generally, I mean, we haven't even scraped the surface of people that can buy my product. And we've already created this amazing brand. And my strategy works. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, don't try my strategy because then you'll beat me. I'm like, just, you're in a different lane. Like, grow in your lane, do the tactics.
Yeah.
Trust me, they work because you will grow if you post shorts instead of long form content.
But what abundance is, mindset.
Yeah, it is abundance mindset. But the key is they still got to do the work.
Yes, they
do. Right? You could sit here on the podcast and we can riff on for an hour about what you've done, but the real work is done behind closed doors. The real work is, right, saying no to a lot of things. Right? So you're your head is down and you're directed to this goal that you have rather than getting influenced by the outside world. Because how many lonely nights have you had looking up at the ceiling going, wow, how am I going to pay rent next week? How am I going to send out these 1,000 orders? And I don't even have a manufacturer. And here we are trying to piece these things together with, you know, at our small workshop as an example.
Yeah. And even when you hit the seven figures doesn't mean you're getting a salary. Like, doesn't mean, you know, I'm a big believer in profitability, but I'm also a big believer in reinvesting and making new molds and bringing out new products and expanding our product range. Let me be really clear here. I'm trying to sell this business. Like, we want to exit in the next few years. And to do that, we need to have a really solid product range, really solid audience, and great EBITDA. And so to get there, I'm not sitting here pulling out of $100,000 to $200,000 salary. That's not going to work in my goal in selling the business. So it's a hustle mindset, but not in a way that's like hustle without the working smart too. Of course I work smart, but you cannot get this or achieve these results without actually doing the work. And whenever I speak to people say, can you coach me? Or in Shecom that, you know, I work with, I'm not going to hold your hand. I'm going to share. I'm literally not going to gatekeep anything, but you still have to do the work.
With you're part of the Shecom community, great community, and we've had a couple of female-only community leaders here. We've had Shecom, obviously, and we've had She Sells with Brooke, which is our sort of remote selling staff. And
we work with Brooke at Shecom. She is our sales staff.
Yeah, and Nerida Bend. We've had some great ladies on here, but I'd love to hear your unique perspective as a woman in business. Like, are there challenges or tips that you could pass along being a young woman for some of the prices that you've paid because you're a woman or are dealing with other women that now that you've sort of, you know, people want you to do well, but not that well.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could speak to that a little bit, speak to the ladies.
It's the weirdest journey I've been on. And I don't want to just say be on as a woman. I feel like just personally I've been on, but then also the reality is a lot of it comes from being a woman and inherently, like in my body, how I feel comes from being a woman. And I kept the business a secret for a year from everybody. Not only I didn't want to lose my job because I was working, I was growing a big business really quickly and maybe thought I was distracted, but I didn't tell my family because I felt like they would judge me and then Gabby's starting another business or like, oh, maybe it would jinx it. I kept it a secret. And then in our second year, we hired a PR agency that was not cheap, $5,000 a month US. And she kept saying, Gabby, let's do personal brand pieces. Let's get you on TV. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, no one will take me seriously. I've had really bad managers in the past when I was working corporate, and all my managers have always been men. And unfortunately, I've always been belittled in my age because I've always been the youngest in the room. And so not only the youngest, but also a woman. So, you know, when I was working in corporate, I'd be hitting targets, exceeding targets, winning all of the competitions, but then not given the prizes because I'm a young female. I even got told by a boss in corporate one time, we won't send you to this conference in America because you're a young female and you won't be able to represent our team.
Wow.
And I literally walked out of that room crying like you wouldn't believe. I was 20 and I called my mum and I called my partner and Enzo, who I'm still with. And then I had an HR meeting and they made us mediate in a room, and I didn't want to be in front of him, and I resigned like a week later. And I mean, I was working at PayPal. I mean, I have no NDAs or anything. Like, I was working at, it's a global company. And it was just traumatic. Like, I was on track to like 200K comms OTE salary. And my manager, my boss just couldn't handle that I was making so much commission because the team wasn't hitting KPI. I was. So he wasn't making that much money. And so he was just holding me back. And
have you emailed him?
No,
with your November results?
Oh, I think he got fired like 6 months later.
Hey, you like them apples, bitch.
Honestly, one of my goals is to, when I was working at PayPal, we used to have people come and speak that were really good accounts. And my goal is to go and speak at one of their events one day and be like,
How much of those comments still sit in the back of your head and drive you today?
Oh, massive. Because that was just one example. Like, I've had so many examples with mean bosses and, you know, like people just not supporting me. Those drive me. They drive me. Like, oh my God, they drive me. One time I won an award. I won 30 under 30 this year for BNT. And awesome, thank you. And when I was working in marketing at the agency, I so badly wanted it. And I knew that nobody was going to nominate me because it just wasn't as supportive as my group now, my community now rather. And I remember winning it and thinking like, oh, my old bosses are going to be so sad that they let me go. Like, because I just knew that one day I would get it.
So good. Yeah. I'd be sending them a little cube with insert here.
And I sit here very, very humbled, you know, across from you talking about this, because I'm raising two young girls at the moment.
Yeah.
And everything that I do in the way that I'm raising them at the moment with my wife, right, is to hopefully in 20 years have them sitting in that chair.
Yes.
Right. And discussing their successes like you have.
Yeah.
And just the passion that's oozing out of you, because not only are you a successful person, but you could see that you're excited. You could see that you love what you do. And yeah. I think that's a big thing that people need to think about as well. And one of my sayings that I've been repeating is, I feel like there's a lot of people building businesses that they actually don't want.
Yeah.
And it looks total opposite for you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm not doing this just to be rich. I'm doing this because I'm so passionate about it. And me selling it isn't just me trying to sell it and move on and make a lot of money. I would love to just work with people one-on-one and like in group settings ongoing, because that drives me so much. And I wish I could do that full time. And also running an e-commerce business with a product-based business is stopping me from having kids personally. I know I can do it, but I'm choosing not to while I'm growing it. And just a few other things. I don't think I could do this hustle long-term, this growth long-term. I love it so much. And there are stipulations that we will have when we sell. Like, we want to create scholarships and we want to make sure the brand stays as it, you know, is with this education piece. But I love it. We both love it so much. And we wake up every day and we realize that we are so, so grateful for what we've built and what we're building. And I think that is important to grow, be honest to growing a good business. And a brand is having that meaning behind it all, stripping it back. We just got an NDIS. We just got the NDIS preferred supplier badge. And that to me is part of that meaning. Like, how when I started this, I did not expect to become an NDIS product. We are a sensory product for children with autism and ADHD, and we are helping families And that's what's driving me.
I could see that straight away when I looked at the product, and because I got friends with autistic kids.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, just a little bit left field, it's not that common that you meet a young woman in her 20s who's happily married and building a business with her partner. How helpful has it been having a partner? I can see that you're a powerhouse. I don't know whether ends up whether you're the driver or ends up, but if he's the driver, I'm like scared.
He's just as driven as I am.
But you're this married couple in your 20s, it seems to me anyway, unless you're putting on a show, every time you speak about him, I can see that there's a real bond there. There's the two of
It's funny because it's so cliche. We've been together 10 years and we are a powerhouse, like generally in business. We work so well together, and it's because his brain is 100% strategic engineering operations and my brain is creative marketing. And he's great at visually, you know, he can build a booth and make it pretty. And I let him help in those areas, but we do not step on each other's toes. And we have these amazing, sometimes heated debates that always end up with the best possible solution, because we end up figuring out that neither nor his or my opinion is actually the right one. And then we come up with a new one and then we're like, yeah, high five. A lot of my friends, especially in Shecom, they're like, oh, how long have you been together? You guys are still in your honeymoon phase. And we're like, 10 years? Because we are very... we're really supportive of each other. I will never not give him credit because he's like a huge 50% of this business.
Yeah, I will say he's got something to say. You sound like you're super aligned as people with such shared values.
100%.
And that's so important. Like that's what anybody that asks for my advice, and I'm not one to give relationship advice, but that's the thing that I find is so important is the overlap of values.
It's amazing because one thing that I noticed the same about you with you and your partner. And I like that you're very competitive as well. I can tell your partner is the deal. We all are entrepreneurs. We are, because competition equals creativity. And you said something that made me so happy. You can try compete against us. Good luck. Almost nearly every successful person that I met, and I'm with three here that all you guys have this in common, you are all in healthy, stable relationships. So if you think you're going to be able to be competing the world today by yourself, go compete against her, Enzo, their inner circle, and go see how much harder it is.
Oh, yeah, you're not just fighting Gabby here. You're fighting Enzo and Gabby, and it's 1 + 1 = 11.
We have a photo when I won the 30 under 30, well, we have it printed. And I'm on stage and I'm shocked and I'm going, and everyone in the room is sitting down and he's standing up clapping. He's the only one in the whole entire room standing up clapping. And it literally represents us in business and in our relationship, because we are so competitive together. Like we want to take over this world together. Like he wants to take rocket ships, freight to Mars. Like he has big, big, big goals, and this is our first stepping stone there. But like we both are very aligned in that, and like having a second person in the business as well. I mean, he's CEO. I hand that over to him. I did not want to be CEO, but it's so important having such different minds in the brain to work together, and that's what's creating this business.
Shout out to Enzo.
Reminds me of the relationship, my working relationship I have with my wife. You know, we're in highly, highly competitive to whoever has the last say in our relationship. No, but I take my hat off to anyone that works day in, day out with their partner.
Yeah.
Because my wife and I work really well together on the property stuff, but we can never run a business together.
Yeah.
And we know that. And again, it's understanding, right, the personalities, right? So for me, I know what I'm really good at. I know what Jen's really good at, as an example. But Jen doesn't, when I'm in work mode, like I'm a different person. I'm in work mode. There's no, it's not like, hey, babe, can you please do this? It's like, we got to get shit done. Let's go. And for some reason, she doesn't like me telling her what to do. So, I don't know.
I think it'll always be there. Like we don't like each other telling each other what to do, but we have work Gabby and personal Gabby. Like if we're on the way home from the office and it's like, personal Gabby, please, I'm like feeling really down today, and we'll switch.
I like that. So what's some advice you can give potential people that are actually you know, husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend looking or starting a business together, because that that's easy for you to say, but that's a guideline, right?
Yeah, like you're putting we have to
barriers
in place. Like we now have the office space because we had to remove work from our home because a home is personal space. And when we're at home, we don't talk finance. I try my best not to talk about business. Enzo has a really, really great barrier. I'm working on it. But at the office space, everything is free game. Like he's the CEO, so he can crack the whip if I'm not hitting targets, and I can ask him if stock's on the way, and we can have a little bit of back and forth. But as soon as we leave the office, we try and create that distance. And then if he says, like, I really need personal Gabby because I'm feeling down, then we switch it. And we try, I try not to bring the business into it. But I will also say, like, it's really tough working with your partner because at the end of the day, a lot of the conversation ends up being about work. And you have to remember that your relationship has to come first over everything else because the business literally doesn't matter. You're not in this life to just have a business and be on your own. And if that's what you want, great, go for it. But we were together first and we wanted to be together first. And we got engaged prior to CMY Cubes. Like we grew together as people from literally like 19 years old to he's in his 30s now. So I think at the end of the day, when we're having a fight about work or having a disagreement about personal stuff, we can't intertwine the two because it's not fair to put the business even closely as important or bring it in as importance as what's happening in our personal life.
I love hearing this because these values are shifting so much with social media and the mainstream now. It's all about independent people and we don't need each other. But I'm a strong advocate for, you know, we do need each other. There's, you know, we come home to a life outside of business and it's great having a partner of any gender that you're in love with and is supportive and it brings that wholeness and purpose to it.
Yeah. And also have your own hobbies as well.
Yeah.
Do things where you can come home and share like, oh, this happened and this happened. And also have your have goals that are and understand and work on what that goal looks like. For us, it's a bit like when we have kids, just be 100% not having to work. He wants to be a stay-at-home dad, but not for me to be the breadwinner. Like we both want to be, he wants to homeschool. And so we want to be not at all financially focused or stressed. When we have kids, we want to just literally take the whole entire year off. I don't know if I can do that mentally. I'm like, but go for him, go for gold. And like, we both have that goal. And so, you know, and also what are the goals longer term? Like he has his goal with his aerospace. He wants to send stuff to Mars. I want to build a personal brand and work with people and see them succeed. And that's post-business. And that's why we both are aligned on selling. That, you know, there is contention. Like he wants to sell for less than I want to sell. And we're working through that because he's like, I'll sell today. And I'm like, oh, no, minimum 5 mil, minimum 10 mil. And, but at the end of the day, you know, we speak to other people and it's like one in the hand, two in the bush. Like at the end of the day, if you can get to your goal, like just work through it and take it.
What is your goal? Do you mind sharing?
I think that I would like to, I want to manifest like 10 mil, a 10 mil minimum exit, which I think is very doable. I would like obviously to sell to a company that is very aligned with our company. So whether it's a big toy company or whether it's a people that have experience in educational toys.
How did it feel saying that? Because I could almost feel you're a little bit nervous.
Well, because I think the thing is like I could easily just say 5 mil, but then I'm like, no, Gabby, like manifest.
That's why I'm calling it out because I respect that because I said to our coaching group last night, how do you describe yourself to others? Yeah. And do you feel completely comfortable in that?
Yeah.
And if you do, over the Christmas break, I'd like you to write a new description of who you're going to be next year.
Nice.
Because if you're not challenged in how you're seeing yourself, you're not growing.
Yeah.
And I loved how you gulped down then. Yeah. I was just watching you going, 10 million? Yeah.
Because like Enzo's like, I'll sell for 2 million. You know, like, let's just move on. We've done this. This is amazing. Let's sell it. And now I can work on my big dreams, my big goals. And I'm like, no, we can definitely sell for 10 million. Like not only is our business strong, but we have the community. We've got an amazing brand that we've built and IP, of course. We've been in lawsuits and won. And so we've got this incredible business. So I'm like, I think we could definitely sell for for 9 figures.
Good for you. There's always has to have, there has to be someone in the relationship. And I spent some time with Grant. It's Elena that drives Grant.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are shocked by that. They always think it's Grant, but it's not. Yeah. It's actually her that's pushing him to levels up.
Yeah, 100%.
So boys listening, if you find one like this that's, you know, a goer and pushing you and supportive, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Diogo, you were going to, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Guys, thank you so much for sharing all this. As I was telling you, guys, for only listening, for only being surrounded by people. And I always say, the teacher comes when the student's ready.
Yeah.
You know, I always say this. So please, if you're listening to Unemployable, put in practice one thing, just one thing that you learn here and see your whole life changing. Yeah. As this is what I see today, divorce rates. I did family law, was one of the worst periods of my time because everyone is lying in family law. You don't know. But like family law is one of the worst energies. But 60% divorce rates in the whole planet today. Do you guys know the number one cause? Almost 70% of those 6%, do you know? Money.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Nothing else rather than money. And why do you think? In my opinion, it's because even though we are in a moment now, even if you're in India, in the middle of a small town or in Brazil, and you apply one of those things, you will be successful because people are giving up too easy.
Yeah.
They're not used to persevere.
Right.
They only want instant gratification. For sure, you could come to Gold Coast from Sydney on a private jet. Handbags, security guard outside. You could have your whole like $100,000. You just did a $400,000 a month. But no, what you were doing? She's focusing on the future. Look at this. This is exactly how you should be. Because instant gratification is only going to delay the process. And I see a lot of people, countless friends that got divorced or made millions and lost already everything. Countless. Because make the money or beat that. Pretty much everyone can do if you apply. But what about be able to say this? Do you know what? All this money coming in, I'm going to wait a little longer.
Yeah.
And I will sell this and then I can get my 8-9 figures. So this is how I see. We have the solution for divorces here. We have the solution for wars. We have the solution for killing, for many things. If everyone comes together and say, let's move society forward.
Yeah.
Let's help one another. And this is what I believe, guys. This is the energy that I'm feeling here today with being with you guys. This is Unemployable.
And
very well said.
I'll add to that because it's interesting. Like at the beginning of the month, I was like, I was speaking to some friends. I'm like, I need to set some goals. And then if I hit those goals, then I'll figure out what I want to do. And we smashed our goal for November. And then last week we were like, what do we want to do? Like, what is it that we want? We have everything. Like we have our friends, our family. Like we literally, I'm not very materialistic. So I'm not into handbags and I like tech. That's pretty much the extent of it. We like cool tech stuff, but we were like, what do we want to do? We travel a lot already. And so what we did was we bought Enzo's mum and Enzo's auntie a ticket to Sydney and surprised them. So they're coming on the 10th for Christmas. And that to us is like, this is why we do this, because we want to spend Christmas with them. They're in Florida. And we're like, we called them. We're like, how would you feel about coming on the 10th? And they were like, oh, maybe. And we're like, well, we bought your tickets, so you're coming. And they were like, wow, oh my God. And to us, I'm like, that's why we're doing this. Like, because I literally just want to spend time with them over Christmas because they're Catholic and it means a lot to them. And I don't want to just, spend the money on dinners and all of that because that is meaningless. And we're literally building this so we can create this family wealth. And when I say wealth, I mean like literally time together. Like we can spend that energy that we're working all this time on with the people we love. And also my friends, I'm like, and then when we sell the business, we're all going on a sailing trip because I want to spend time with you, but also do something really nice. So,
I have a friend in Singapore, sold his business for a lot. We sold half of it for 500 mil and he took 40 of his closest friends on a 3-month tour through Europe.
Yeah.
And just created memories. Dana White says money is fun coupons. Yep. That's all it is. It's to create memories. That's it.
It is the vessel for that.
So for all the men watching that probably want an answer to this question is, where do they find Gabby's?
I thought about this. It's not just the, like, it's a watching.
Yeah. Men and women.
I'm wondering also, Because I could have a few of me in my business.
Your daughter.
I think the mold's been broken.
The reason why I say that is because I want someone who brain moves quickly, like mine in marketing, they can work with me. It's such a good question because Enzo and I were having a chat about this. I'm listening to a podcast at the moment on women's hormones, and the lady's talking about, she's incredible. I forgot her name. She's a doctor, and she's talking about estrogen and how it changes our mood and how it creates a lot of when we're going through estrogen cycles, we end up choosing a partner based on aspects of different parts of our cycle. So whether they're really good looking this month, this week, or next week, whether they're going to be a good dad, or changes, right? And something that Enzo and I ended up pausing and talking about was like, where would you be if we hadn't met? Where would I be if we hadn't met? Because he pushed me to get that job at PayPal, and I pushed him to start Enzo Builds, and we started the business together. And I think that I would not be even a little bit of who I am without him. So like, sure, where could they find a Gabby? But also like, it's like a combined effort, right? Because I've been pushed and driven by somebody. So like, we're driving a train, he's the conductor, I'm like adding the fuel into the fire, right? And so I think my parents did a really good job at raising me in to be a really big hustler. My mom was a flight attendant. She let me skip school and travel with her because she found the value in that. And my dad owned a homeware bits shop, and I used to sit at the register when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old and sell things. And so I used to bring phone cases with studs on them to school and sell them to the grade 7 people, and for $5, and you could put it on your iPhone. So I always had that drive, but I think the key thing in finding a partner that is driven is just letting them be driven and not just like holding them back from, because it's risky. A lot of women that I talk to, I'm like, hey, come with me to Shop Talk in Vegas in March. It's going to be so much fun. And their partners are like, oh, but then, you know, you're going to be away from your desk, and maybe the kids will be alone, or maybe we won't make money, or whatever it is. And it's like, well, then you're holding them back. Like, don't hold them back. Just literally let each other do whatever you want. And usually it'd be even better if you do it together. And also maybe a bit of ADHD.
That's super powerful. Super powerful. I was thinking the same thing though, for guys listening, looking for women like you, and women listening, looking for guys that are actually on a growth path. It's not that easy, especially when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
Because when you're in your 30s, 40s, you start to learn a bit more about life and your values change organically.
Yeah.
But when you're in your 20s, it's like all about, unless you catch a woman and she's looking for a guy, they're all looking for the good looking guy or the good looking girl. So I think it's great. And I just love this model for those of you out there that are interested in unusual things by today's standards. We see you, and you will become normalized and praised as life goes along.
Absolutely. And there's actually a statistic that I took away from this podcast I listened to, and she said that a lot more women, I don't know the exact percentage, but a lot more women are willing to not have kids and willing to be single because they are really driven. And in the universities in America are 70% female.
Yes.
And they're ending up alone because they're not finding men that are smarter than them or like more successful than them. Actually, the key thing that is happening here is that men are not willing to be with the woman who is more successful than them, because inherently they're the ones that want to drive, because in the book, Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady, I'm pretty sure that's the title. It talks about men inherently want to be the provider. It's like literally it's deep down, it's tribal. They want to be the one to support the family, which is totally fine and absolutely okay. And you can do it together. There's no problem in growing together and like be in Enzo and stand in the room while I win a 30 under 30. It's okay. Like there's no problem in one or the other being successful. It doesn't matter. So just let the other person be more successful than you.
It's super masculine to be able to do that.
Totally.
You're able to celebrate your wife's wins.
Yeah,
100%. It's massive.
It's huge. And if you're single and you're looking for a partner, be okay with the fact that they might be more successful than you, but also be okay with the fact that you can actually do it together also. It's not just one or the other. It's not a competition.
Kevi, it's been awesome. It's almost an hour and a half. It's flying by. I know. Like, your story is phenomenal on so many fronts. And, you know, we love having entrepreneurs in, especially young ladies that are just crushing it out there. It's so good. And also Enzo, who I'm sure will be watching this later, thank you for all the effort you've put in as well. It's a great story. And I'm reminded always of how lucky we are to be in this great country. I was down at my factory the other day with Diego and his team. Diego was saying, I said to him, how's business? And he said, Adam, I came to this country and I used to work hard and not get rewarded where I came from. I come to Australia. If you work hard and do the right thing here, you can be massively rewarded. Yeah. And I wake up every day grateful. And I walked away from it and I was like, you know, such a great reminder of how much we take for granted. And seeing a young lady in the 20s just absolutely smashing it. I just love it. So for all of you watching at home, if you know a Gabby that that we can get on the show, please let us know. Please drop Gabby a comment because it's not easy to get women onto these pods. A, it's hard to find them. And B, they have imposter syndrome very commonly, like she referred to, feeling they're not worthy or not warranted to be on the show. And so, and if I do go on the show, all these bitches are going to pull me down. Yeah. That's how women think. So that's why I just want to say thank you for actually having the courage to come on the show, push yourself during the show on admitting to your goals. And I hope for anyone watching this, regardless of gender, that you got something from this.
Yeah.
We can't wait to see where you are at, God forbid, when you get old at 40 or something.
Wow.
You're going to be an absolute beast in the future. You're a beast now, but you're going to be one of these women that really inspires a lot of people. So we can't wait to see your journey. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me on here. It's been really awesome to chat to you guys. Thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Like, subscribe, comment.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.